Good afternoon, Central Texas. This is Tom McNew. We are here in the St. Colby studio. Appreciate everybody tuning in and joining us here on another episode of The Hometown Hero. And today we are talking to Miss Christina Williams Myers. Lots of S's, lots of I's, but a lot of hard work. We're going to hear all about Miss Christina and her 25 years of working here in the Coppers Cove Independent School District. So, Miss Christina, thank you very much for coming and joining us.
Thank you, Tom, for having me. I appreciate it.
So, introduce yourself to all of our listeners.
I'm Christina Williams Myers. I recently retired from Coppers Cove Independent School District. 25 years totally at Martin Walker Elementary.
If y'all could see the big smile on her face right now. So what did you do over at Martin Walker now specifically?
I did a couple things. I started out there basically as a volunteer, as a parent volunteer.
Okay.
And the principal at the time was named Douglas Love. And he came up to me and said, "Don't you want to come to work for me?" And I'm like, no, you know, I still have one that's just doing pre-K over at the private preschool. I said, so when she goes into school full time, y'all talk about it. That man remembered 1 year to the day and called me and said, "Remember when you said you'd come to work for me when your last one went to school?" I'm like, yeah. He's like, "Well, I know she starts school."
That's right.
So that was the beginning of my story at Martin Walker.
And so what did you do at that first point, or as you started in the school?
When I very first started, that's when they had introduced pre-K district-wide to all of the elementary schools here. And so I started as a pre-K para, working...
Pre-K para...
Paraprofessional.
Oh, okay.
An aide.
Okay.
It's an aide. It's the same thing. Working as a pre-K para. I did that for 1 year. And then we had... a couple of kids that needed some one-on-one, and so I became like a one-on-one for one little boy that was in a wheelchair. And then I got to work with a little girl named Mona. I became what was called an intervener at that time.
Okay.
And basically, you are their one-on-one person. I had to learn how to do sign language to introduce it to her. I'm not proficient by any chance, any means. But I and getting her to do mobility things. So I was her person for many years.
And then
she moved on to the junior high, and I wanted to stay at Martin Walker, so I did not go with her. And then I spent a little time working in the gym with Karen Harris. She was our PE coach, awesome lady. And then I went into ISS, or in-school suspension, detention, if you will. And that was because of my principal at the time, Amanda Crawley.
So talk about that conversation that you had with Principal Crawley and really kind of the decision-making that you went, because that's a whole different direction from what you were doing.
Completely different direction. I was scared to death. I knew how to handle my own family, because by that time now I had six kids. And I, you know, we had, there were boundaries that my kids knew not to cross. Well, everyone raises their children differently. So I asked Amanda point blank. I said, "Do you want me to quit?" Point blank. I said, "Because I don't know that I can be the kind of person that you need me to be with other people's children." And she just looked me in the eyes and she said, "Christina," she says, "you are not giving yourself enough credit for what I can see in you."
Wow.
Then she had a different vision what detention would look like.
Okay.
She was really wanting us to be more proactive as opposed to reactive to situations.
So not this this idea of going to classroom and just copy pages out of a dictionary or something like that just because a kid got in trouble.
That's true. She really wanted us to when you say go into a classroom, she actually wanted us to go into the classroom and monitor those students, let them know that they had someone they could turn to when they saw that they were getting antsy or needed a break, to pull them out for 5-10 minutes max and let them have a refocus and go back into the classroom. And then in addition to that, I started going around to all the classrooms and just popping in, making sure the kids knew who I was. And then we implemented a social-emotional lessons kind of program where I would work with the teachers and I would, after observing classes, I would come up with a list of kids I thought might use a little extra help regulating their behavior. And then the teachers also gave me a list of kids they thought. And so I would pull groups into my little office and we would sit down and we would talk about behaviors. That's how we would start.
Yeah. I'm sure the teachers really appreciated that that proactiveness and kind of leaning forward.
So many of the teachers, yes, came on board with it. You know, everyone has different opinions about how things should be, but when something works, you really want to take advantage of it. Yeah. And that model just continued to grow. Mm-hmm. It grew out throughout the whole district, where now every school, I can speak for elementary, does social-emotional lessons 10 to 15 minutes at the beginning of each day to help all the kids regulate some of their behavior and to let them know that somebody cares enough to listen to what they have to say.
What a sea change to the way discipline is handled not just at Martin Walker, but across the entire district. That's shaping the future of not just a particular child, but an entire town and really an entire region. I mean, everybody here in Central Texas is going to feel that in some regard.
I agree 100%. Because if you talk to teachers now, really a few years back, one of their biggest complaints, if you will, was discipline in the classroom. And so anything that you can do to positively affect change in discipline is going to be just fantastic. And the fact that most teachers, like I said, are on board with this new way of handling discipline is really great. And the district itself is coming up with a matrix on how to handle discipline, you know, first offense, second offense, third offense, actually, so that it is district-wide, so it's systematically done the same way. So if a student leaves Martin Walker and goes to Williams Ledger, they understand that the model consequence, is exactly going to be the same.
That's got to be a little reassuring, too, for some of the parents to know that, hey, if I move across town or my kid goes from elementary to junior high, whatever, that he or she is not going to have to learn some different manner of, you know, or consequence management, as it were, in that school.
Definitely. And I need to give out a shout out to Dr. Jimmy Shuck for helping implement a lot of those changes as far as a matrix for handling discipline.
Tanee, talk about when you first started, you know, again, 25 years ago. What kind of reaction did you get from the parents with this? Again, it's kind of the sea change in a way discipline was being handled.
When you're a parent that has a student that isn't getting that smiley face home when their daily report, you know, you start to feel like maybe someone is not treating my child equally. And so once you start having conversation with parents like, your student did this today, but guess what? At the end of the day, they were successful.
Yeah.
The difference from a parent when you first say, hi, Mrs. Jones, this is Mrs. Myers at Martin Walker, and you hear this sigh in their voice, and then you say, I want to tell you what Johnny did that was so awesome today, and they're elated. So parents are on board. They really want to work. Most parents really want to work with staff so that their student is successful. And you feel that. It makes everything better for the school, the students especially.
Yeah. And that's got to be a little comforting for parents, you know, when they do answer the phone call and it's Ms. Myers on the other end. And, you know, I'm sure heartbeats go up But to hear the, you know, like you said, Johnny had a great day today, you know. And so talk a little bit about kind of how you managed, or maybe let's from a different perspective. And can you give us an example of how you would solve a problem? You know, little Susie is just not able to focus on math or whatever the case may be, and walk us through a kind of a scenario.
So when we get a call that says, I need assistance in room 12, mm-hmm. and it's Johnny, mm-hmm. you go in and you, first of all, just, I would go in and literally sit next to Johnny and like, hey, what's going on? Mm-hmm. I want to hear your side of the story, not just your teachers.
Yeah.
You know, I want to give you that input as well. And 8 out of 10 times, they will be open and receptive to telling me exactly what's going on. And then we'll go for a walk.
Okay.
We will leave the classroom and go for a walk. Sometimes that involves going to the library and picking out a book and being that person sitting in the hallway mm-hmm. and reading a story mm-hmm. for a while until they calm down. Sometimes it involves us simply going back into my room, and bubbles were a really big thing for little people. You sit there and you play with bubbles and you're both blowing bubbles, and then you get them to calm down
yeah.
and they'll talk to you. A lot of times we also do, well, not every time that I have a student in, I did a social emotional lesson. There are so many great videos mm-hmm. out there online that talk about elementary behavior and how to respond to things like physical aggression, mm-hmm. lying, stealing, verbal insults to uh-huh. adults and staff. So you work through that, and a lot of times kids have never been introduced to why they're not supposed to do mm-hmm, something. Mm-hmm. And so you're educating them as well as what you did was not okay. And this is why it's not okay. Instead of just saying, hey, what you did was bad.
Yeah.
And then dropping it. But educate them on why they shouldn't do it and get them to understand why they shouldn't do it anymore.
Yeah. Again, kind of a change in the way. I mean, a lot of us didn't grow up that way.
That's true.
I mean, a lot of us grew up with, you know, here's the ruler across the knuckles because you were talking or whatever. And it wasn't necessarily the explanation as to why you shouldn't have been talking in the classroom at that particular time, you know, because the teacher was trying to explain something. So,
but and a lot of us grew up as latchkey kids.
Yeah,
we did. But we didn't have devices now that just to entertain us. We actually read books or went out and played with mm-hmm, our siblings mm-hmm. or things like that. Where kids nowadays, good and bad, have so much access to social media and devices to entertain them as opposed to reading a book.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that plays a lot in the sense that when I say parents aren't necessarily talking to their children so much because they are handing them devices. So come back and introduce, like, again, like I said, we'll go to the library and we'll pick out a book to read, you know. But there's just, but I can't say how much I enjoyed my job. Even though Amanda Crawley, I just knew she wanted me to quit. But over the last 10 years that I had that particular job, or excuse me, 15 years that I've had that particular job, I actually loved it. And I miss it.
It worked out pretty well for you.
It actually did. Imagine that. Somebody, she knew what she was talking about.
25 years later. That's awesome. So one of the things that you talked about was, or that we were talking about earlier, is this social-emotional learning and how you took a, there were times when you would take a particular block of time specific for this SEL, social emotional learning. Can you kind of walk us through this concept?
So basically what it is, it's children being allowed to express themselves. We're not talking about any more than a minute or two at a time.
Yeah.
But giving them an opportunity to tell me something that's bothering you, and then give me a chance to tell me something good.
Okay.
So we would do that inside my room. And like I said, now it's across the district, and most of the counselors at the elementary level are also involved. Our counselor, Hillary Newton, was very active. Yeah. She pulls groups. Now it's a regular thing now. Like, where I would have to pull kids, you know, as I could. Mm-hmm. She actually has a set schedule now where she pulls kids on a regular basis to talk about what's going on and things that we can help modify behaviors that are unwanted.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's a thousand different ways. There's a different way for each kid, and a different way that each child is going to react to that and accept that idea of social emotional learning. Go ahead.
It can be something as simple as I had the fish game, and we would talk about, while they're playing a game, we would talk about what was going on, or we would play chutes and ladders, or the cherry picking game. I can't know what it's called now. but we would talk, and they're relaxing while they're talking, even though it just had a big explosion in the classroom. Bring them in a new environment, a calm environment, and just allow them. That's the biggest key. Allow them to talk. Not be talked to, but allow them to talk. And that made such a big difference with them, because, again, a lot of times they don't get that opportunity at home.
And to give them a chance to really kind of work through their own emotional growth.
And
ultimately to modify the behavior, or modify the negative behavior that exists with not being able to control and understand their own emotions.
The whole purpose now of detention is no longer just punishment, because you are going to have a consequence for your behavior. But it doesn't have to be totally punitive. It can also be reflective for you to learn so that you don't continue down that same path. And that was the best thing that came out of it was this whole change of attitude in schools, especially here at Carpers Cove.
Yeah. So 25 years later, talk about the decision that, because I'm sure, I know when I retired from the Army that there was a big decision, you know, it wasn't just I woke up one morning and it's like, I'm done, I'm over. You talk about your decision to move on to a new adventure.
Honestly, it came down to my age. I'm 64.
You don't look that old, but
well,
okay.
Thanks. And it was just time. 25, I mean, I've been working, you know, before I had kids. I spent 8 years at home just being a mom. And then I spent the last 25 years in the school district, and it simply came down to my age. I was ready.
Yeah.
I love to travel, and I have a large group of people that I travel with, and most of them are retired.
Yeah.
So they would work around my schedule for vacations. Yeah. So now
you can just go when you want.
We can go.
All right.
So, but it just simply came down to my age.
Yeah.
And I have grandkids now.
That's
and
wonderful.
So I get to spend time with them, and none of them, one of them is not in the state, so I get to travel and go see her. She's just a year old. So, bottom line, it just simply came down to, it was time.
It just was time. Tremendous impact though. So look, what's the next adventure? I mean, where's your next travel to?
In 2 weeks, I'm going to be in the Bahamas.
Oh, my goodness gracious. How do I get into this?
Come join us.
Wonderful, wonderful.
That's our next
Are you
adventure.
Going as part of a group then, or is it just on
just another couple and I are going. Yeah, we're going to be gone for a while. And then
lay in a beach. And
So I'm just excited about that. And then, you know, before the end of the year, I'm sure I'll go back out to either California or Colorado to see the kids at least one more time. I've already seen them already, but
that's
I'm going to go back again.
Yeah. That's wonderful. So as you have, you know, this really truly a generational impact here, any children of children that you taught that have now come back to you as and now they're, you know, in their 30s and have come back to you and talked and talked about the impact that you had within their lives?
Yes, and that is probably one of the best things happening to me. It lets me know that I made a difference.
Yeah.
You know, I had one frequent flyer when he would have been in fourth grade, mm-hmm. is now a dad,
wow.
and has had a student come back to Martin Walker, actually. And it's like, "Hi, Miss Myers, I remember you. I'm so sorry about the way I was." I'm like, "No, look, you turned out great." But that, when a student comes back to you, or you see a parent in the hall, in the grocery store, mm-hmm. and they're like, "Hi, Miss Myers, I don't know if you remember me, but you had my son, back in, or you had my daughter," or a couple of months ago, I had a little girl. She's now probably in ninth grade. Literally ran across HEB screaming my name, and so that just feels good, you know.
Yeah,
and she was one of my kids. So, like anybody,
you know,
when you hear something positive for yourself, it makes you feel good. It's not a prideful thing. Mm-hmm. It's just you're grateful for the gifts that you were given to be able to share it with someone else.
Yeah.
And I always enjoyed being a mom.
Yeah.
So just kind of some of the kids. And jokingly, a lot of the staff would say, "So your son or your daughter is calling you." They weren't my kids. They were just the kids at school. So, but
yeah.
But yeah, I do miss it.
What a blessing and what a reward for, like you said, the gifts that you've been given to be able to impart that onto now, again, a generational kind of growth.
Even if you didn't feel like you had that gift, for somebody else to see it in you,
mm-hmm.
and to force you to accept it and acknowledge it,
yeah.
I will forever be grateful for that principle that I had.
Yeah. And you know, at the end of the day, when truly remarkable that Amanda had that insight into you to recognize that you were the person that could implement this preventative measure and this, again, a sea change in the discipline at the school.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we got just a couple minutes left here. Any final words of wisdom for our parents and grandparents? Not for any of them, whether they have a kid who's struggling or not, that could help them get through some of this, like you said, the social-emotional learning and other things.
I know in this day and age, so many people have to work. They mm-hmm. don't have the luxury of being able to stay at home with their children. But if you can just take 3 or 4 minutes every day and ask your child how their day went. Mm-hmm. And don't just accept it was okay or it was fine. Get them to pull out a little bit more. Get them to tell you about things that happened today. Even if it's, "I had a problem with my algebra test," or, mm-hmm. you know, "I learned the letter C today." Mm-hmm. Get them to actually talk to you and actually devote that time and listen to them.
Yeah.
That is so important. My own kids, I would take them on individual dates. We would go to Dairy Queen or McDonald's and just get a cheap little ice cream cone, and I would give them the time to listen and to them.
One-on-one. Yeah.
You know, and I think that was so important. I have a really good relationship with my kids, and so I really feel that it's important for parents to remember, your kids didn't ask to be here.
Yeah.
They were gifts from God to you. And take the time to acknowledge the fact that you were given this gift of your child, and spend some time with them.
Yeah, that's actually really great advice. To remember that the good Lord gave us our children. Again, not because we asked for them, or not because they asked to be here, but that He gave us that particular child at this particular time. For a very specific purpose, and that's a great piece of advice. Thank you very much, Miss Christina, for coming and talking to us today here on Hometown Hero, and we appreciate everything that you have done. And I know that there are a lot of people, not just in this city, but city of Copper's Cove, but all over, you know, Central Texas, that have reveled in the successes that you have imparted on the school and in the community and across the district. And I know that they appreciate everything that you've done.
Thank you, Tom, so much for having me.
All right, folks. This will be up on our website. If you missed some or all of this episode of Our Hometown Hero, it'll be up on our website here in about a couple of weeks. And we appreciate you guys tuning in. And remember to put on the armor of God.